Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. You can also follow us on social media. I'm at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. And we're going to get, we talked about the Lakers earlier, but we're going to go back to them, specifically LeBron James, who totally shut down the concept, the idea, the theory of a play-in tournament. So we're going to discuss that in about 15, 20 minutes. But first, we're going to get to the NFL. This Aaron Rodgers thing is still huge. And our next guest played in Green Bay for 6 seasons, played with not only Aaron Rodgers, but played with Brett Favre. So he's a great guy to talk to about this. Also went to Brigham Young. So we'll get into some Zach Wilson with him. Brady Papinga, is he ready yet? All right, Super Bowl champion, Brady Papinga. Brady, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Always a pleasure to jump on with you.
Great to have you on, my man. Great to have you on. Now, look, we're going to get to the Green Bay situation in a moment. But first, you went to Brigham Young. You always big up their guys. We've had you on here before, and you just sang the praises of the guy down in New Orleans. I don't even need to say his name, all right? But I gotta ask you about Zach Wilson. They're excited. I'm up here in the New York area. Everybody's excited about the Jets draft, and most notably, Zach Wilson. How do you think? Let's just say first from his makeup as a person, his character. You know, New York is a different animal. Is he built to handle New York City and all that comes with it?
I mean, he's a very mentally tough kid. He's a kid, though, that this is going to be a culture shock for him.
Right.
He's going to, because at BYU, it's like all you've heard is how good you are. And even, you know, and it's almost like the people that did doubt him last year with the shoulder injury and his shoulder issue, and then he was kind of in question whether or not he's going to be the starter. As soon as he started playing well, it was like, oh, nothing, you know, no doubts there. We're good now. We're a believer. You know, that's not how New York is. They're going to constantly be doubting him and poking and prying, and anytime he slips up, they're going to jump on him. Oh, you're a bust. Oh, we told you this is too big for you. So that's going to be new for him. But to me, it's going to come down to simply the program. You know, and if you heard Robert Saleh's talk to him, when he drafted him, he basically said to him, to Zach, he said, hey, we're going to prop you up. Don't think you're going to come in here carrying us. And that literally, and that's in any quarterbacking situation with young quarterbacks. That's how it has to be. If not, it really doesn't matter the caliber of the quarterback. It doesn't matter the mentality. Because here's the thing, too. Sam Darnold, to me, is equivalent to Zach Wilson. Like, it's just one fresh, and he's got that kind of a new start, whereas Sam Darnold was kind of, you know what, he's kind of beat up a little bit and needed a fresh start himself. So that's two contrasts right there. One who didn't have a program to support him in Sam Darnold. Now they shipped him off, and if they have one that can support Zach Wilson, yeah, he can make every throw, man. That guy was making throws that I came accustomed to seeing, like you mentioned in the intro, to only seeing guys like Favre and Rodgers make, because I played against him so many times in practice, thousands after thousands of plays. So anyway, you know, he's going to only go as far as the program, the support system around him will take it.
I was going to say, you know, I hate to, like, just put too much on somebody else, because players still have to perform and do their jobs. But being in the right situation, Brady, being with the right coach and the right system, it does have a huge impact. When you look at, we've seen it around, like Adam Gase has had failed with some guys. They go elsewhere and they're playing great, you know. And does that really matter, like with the coach and what system they're running and whatnot, and could be the difference between making you and you being a bust?
Absolutely. And the best example is, you know, the segue into Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. Because the first few years, if Aaron would have been thrown into the wolves, between quotations, like Alex Smith was, I'm not sure we are talking about Aaron Rodgers in the same light that we are right now. I don't even know if at that time I fully felt 100% like, yeah, this guy's going to do it. I had my doubts year two, year three, and it took until it was late in the year, in year three, I believe, is 07, when we played the Cowboys and he replaced Favre. I was like, oh, there he is. He looks like he could do this. And up until that point, honestly, I didn't know. You know, and then you look at a guy like Alex Smith, whose their careers are always going to be compared. You know, here he's thrown to the Wolves. He has all these different coordinators, five different offensive coordinators in 5 years. And he was considered a bust. Now he kind of got back on the horse there a little bit with Harbaugh coming into town and, you know, did some good things with Kansas City and all that. And, you know, had a great 16-year career. I wouldn't say he was a bust, but there was for surely those comparisons, and there will always be, but if you flip the two, is my point. If you put Aaron in San Francisco under the same circumstances as Alex Smith, and then you put Alex Smith up in Green Bay, you know, I would almost say, not that Alex Smith would have been, like Aaron is right now, a surefire Hall of Famer, but man, he's looked at differently than he is right now, and I would say the same about Aaron Rodgers.
Let's go to Aaron in Green Bay, and we all know what's going on. The reports are that the problem was the Jordan Love draft, which obviously was a year ago. And Aaron came out after that and had the MVP season. Why do you think the timing doesn't make sense if indeed this is about Jordan Love? Do you think it's about more than Jordan Love or something else completely different? Or if not, if you think it's Love, then why now and not a year ago?
Oh, well, it just comes down to communication, you know, and I feel like the Packers are extremely disciplined in their model, obviously. That's why they're doing what they're doing with Jordan Love, what they did with Aaron. You know, I mean, and by the way, this whole drama right now, you know who created it? Was Aaron. The fact that he turned out so well because he replaced Brett gave not only just the Packers, but the whole NFL, like, oh, that's the model. That's what we should do. And that's exactly what they were thinking when they drafted Jordan Love. Like, oh, man, he's going to be our next Aaron Rodgers. This is great. You know, and we don't realize that Aaron Rodgers has a different plan. You know, he's not looking at himself like he's the next Brett Favre.
Right.
You know, he's looking at himself like, I'm Aaron Rodgers. It's a different era of quarterbacking. I mean, look at Tom Brady. These guys are going to play well into their 40s now, and it's because they are so protected. They're never going to, you know, unless it's a illegal hit, they're never going to get hit below the knees. They're never going to have that technique, which D linemen and rushers do, where they're going to grab their arm and put their full body mass on them and try to separate their shoulder or break their collarbone as they're taking them to the ground. They're not going to get hit in the head. You know, all those things that happened to Brett and guys before him. And Aaron is looking at that, and he's like, guys, I'm going to play well into my 40s. And so it came down to communication, you know, and I think that's really where the Packers struggle. They're so disciplined to their model at times that they forget that there's a personal element and there's an evolution that happens. And the evolution that's happened is just what I explained. Quarterbacks are going to play a lot longer. So to me, all it takes is being fully open and transparent and basically sitting Aaron down and just saying, hey, man, you know what? It's that time where we don't know what's going to happen with you. We understand that you got a lot of great years ahead, and with those great years, we hope that you play with us, obviously. But at the same time, if you do want to step away, you know, whatever happens, we want to have somebody there that as an insurance policy, we hope you don't take it as a slight if we draft a guy in the first round. And I think the thing that people get so caught up with, too, is draft status doesn't guarantee a player is going to play. Draft status is simply the price the market demanded for a specific player services coming from college. That's it. After that, after you paid for that, between quotations, asset, now it's you let football take care of itself. And I think that so many times guys get picked especially in the first or second round, and it's like, well, he's got to play. We got to play. No, he'll play when he shows you he's ready to play. And in the case of Jordan Love, he'll play when Aaron isn't the best quarterback on the team anymore. And that may be 5, 6, 7 years down the road. And so that, to me, needed to be communicated. And it obviously wasn't. And, you know, and I think right now they're trying to make up for that, the Packers. But Aaron, I'll tell you, if you wrong him, it's going to take a bit to get him to come back around and listen to you. That's one thing I know about him.
He sounds like a Capricorn. That's the way I operate. But anyway, Brady, I was going to say this. But the one thing I think that's sometimes lost, and I get it, and everybody's an individual, but if you look at the five greatest quarterbacks in the NFL history, they all finished their career elsewhere. That, like, this is the norm, right? That guys don't get to finish and get their flowers at the end and everybody loves you. Most of these quarterbacks wind up going somewhere else.
And that's because back in the day, their play had dropped off. You know, you look at, like, with Brett Favre, you know, in 2005, he had a terrible season. That's my rookie season in comparison to how he's capable of playing. You know, in 2006, he had kind of a revival, but he wasn't fully invested. You know, he kept vacillating. Am I in? Am I out? Am I retiring? Am I not? By the way, he did that for years. So, Ted Thompson, it was smart for him to be like, yeah, we got to get a replacement. This isn't the same deal. Aaron has never once, before this incident, ever talked about retirement, ever talked about playing for another team, and he came off an MVP caliber year. So it's kind of funny that they're trying to relive this Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers transition when that's not even apples-to-apples comparison. It's a whole new era for quarterbacking, and that's why Aaron is, like, right now kind of, like, just beside himself. He just won the NFL MVP. And they don't even want to guarantee him money beyond a year, which who does that?
Right.
You know, especially they're kind of cap strapped. It's like that would be the automatic go-to thing. You keep the MVP, even if it goes against your model, and you just roll with it, and he's your exception. That's fine. You can have exceptions. That's another thing that the Packers struggle with. They struggle with thinking if they do it for one guy, oh, we're going to have to do it for 10 others in the future. Well, you're not going to have 10 other Aaron Rodgers. That's just not going to happen.
All right. That's Brady Papinga, Super Bowl champion, former teammate of Aaron Rodgers. Hey, we enjoyed it, man. Thanks for the insight.
Thanks, Brady. And the last time you were on our show, I can't remember. You were touting something. And what
Taysom
was
Hill.
That? Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, okay. Right. The guy who won't be playing, who won't be starting next year.
Well, he'll still be playing quarterback. Even if he doesn't start as the quarterback, he'll still be playing quarterback.
You said he's all that in a bag of chips. He should be starting, right?
Hey, I think he should be starting. I could go on a whole other segment about this. Absolutely. But I don't know if Sean Payton doesn't like the idea of always having kind of a changeup guy coming off the sideline like Taysom to keep defenses guessing, which – by the way, if that is the case, I don't know how Jameis is going to handle that. That's tough for a quarterback.
It's going to be interesting.
All right,
we'll have you on to talk about that at another time.
We will definitely do that for sure. Thanks,
have a good evening, Brady. Thank you, brother.
All right, you guys too, guys. Thank you.
All right, Aaron Rodgers is not the only one who's upset. LeBron is mad too. And he's not going to take it anymore. We'll get into that.
Is that over
next.
That foul that happened with in the Toronto game, that fake foul where LeBron acted like he got hit in the head?
He got hammered, man. He got hammered.
Oh, me?
He didn't get hit. He didn't get touched. Did you see the video?
That reminds me of the time. Was it his own man hit him or something? And he flopped. LeBron does flop.
He is a flopper.
There's no doubt. All right. Keep it light. iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature, nature, and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it's the iCouple on a Magic City Monday, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, we told you LeBron James has a beef with the play-in game, especially now that the Lakers could be in it.
Yes, it's very, very interesting.
Yes, so here he is. This is after last night's loss to Toronto, their sixth in seven games, second straight with LeBron since he returned from the ankle injury. He's not playing tonight as they go against Denver. But here he is talking about his disdain for the play-in tournament.
Well, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not, 100%, close to 100%. It don't matter, where we land, So, that's my mindset. And, if this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Whatever.
I wonder who the individual, I guess it probably wasn't one individual.
No, nah, it probably came like a brainstorming meeting, and then they were trying to figure it out.
So here's my thing, Rob. I got to correct myself because I was on Speak for Yourself earlier today, and I did not know.
LeBron.
Well, I just said the timing was, I didn't agree with the timing the timing looks bad, but I didn't know back when they came up with this idea of the play-in tournament back in 2018 that LeBron shot it down at that point. So I respect it more knowing that. When he shot it down then, that shows that this is not just because the Lakers are in it.
Yeah,
the idea, period, which I can respect that.
I give you that. I think that that's fair, Chris, but I do think that when other teams was involved, he didn't have as big of a problem with it. Would you admit that?
Yeah, probably not. Okay. We saw that with Mark Cuban.
Right.
Especially when, the Wizards, the Warriors, they probably love it. But when there's no way LeBron thought in his wildest dreams
that they would be involved in this. Right.
So that makes it that much worse. But I'm going to say this, Rob, and I think you're going to disagree with me, but I'm going to say this. I just think LeBron's flat out wrong because I love the play-in tournament. Absolutely, positively love it. And I'm going to give you several reasons why, and then you can shoot him down if you like. Number one, though, it is an anti-tanking device. Rob, you've covered the NBA a long time. The last 2 weeks, if at least, of the regular season are usually a joke. Especially for, the teams that are already locked in to their seeding and all that. They're resting guys and teams that are out of it aren't playing hard. Not this year. All right, Toronto, you know why they came in the Staples Center and beat the brakes off the Lakers last night?
Because the Lakers are bad.
Well, but also, they got a chance to get in the play-in. They are getting after it. And the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Blazers, they got to play hard too. I mean, this is the Wizards. Why is Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, why are they playing so well? They've won, I think, 11 of 13 now. They got a chance to get into the play-in. So I like it from that standpoint. That's number one. Teams are playing hard. Number two, we got stars who would not be involved in the playoffs to any degree that we're going to get to see in the play-in. I'm talking Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, maybe Zion and Brandon Ingram. I mean, that's a plus to me. Number three, it is the one-and-done element, the March Madness element. We've talked about how this, it's what makes March Madness so great, that it's one-and-done. That is just an unbeatable drama that everybody wants to tune in. So we get the one-and-done or the two-and-done without losing the seven-game playoff that assures us of the best team winning the championship in most cases. So I like that. It's like the best of both worlds. And then here's my final reason, Rob, and I think you will agree with this one. It is one more aspect that makes the regular season matter. All right, we see it. The regular season is getting less and less relevant every year. Dudes are sitting out all types of games. Some legitimate injuries, LeBron, AD, you know, some guys are obviously the guys in Brooklyn, so I'm not ripping everybody for missing games. But still, there's a lot of guys just sitting out when they really don't need to be. And the play-in tournament, in addition to like the postseason or the regular season awards, which I'm going to take into consideration, I'm an official voter, I'm going to really take into consideration who was playing when I put my all-NBA teams together and my awards and so on and so forth. And this is one more thing that will compel guys, or should at least compel guys, to play, because we got to get one of those top six seeds, or we got to get into the play-in. So I'm playing as many games as I need to. So those are the reasons I like it, Rob. I think I convinced you.
No, you did not. You're convincing me
that... At least
that
give me the last one. You did like the last one. The regular season being regular.
I get that. Relevant. But the only problem is you're still rewarding teams for not playing well during the regular season. And even if they do make it, and it doesn't mean that the first round won't be a four-game sweep or whatever it is, because they really weren't that good. It's like a fraudulent. It sounds exciting, but you're letting teams that really didn't play well during the year. So a team could get hot in that and win, but they were under 500 all year, and then they get swept in four games in the first round. So my point is, what is the point of it? Is allowing teams that have not performed well, you're rewarding them basically for not playing well. Why play 82 games? I know it's only 72 this year. To eliminate 14 teams, but now you're not even eliminating 14 teams. Now you're playing 82 games to eliminate 10 teams, or you know what I mean, or whatever it is.
Right.
It just
It doesn't, right?
10 teams. It doesn't make any sense. You're making the regular season almost irrelevant because you got to be awfully bad not to have anything to do with the play-in games. And even the teams that are at the bottom, the last couple trying to, the last four, two of them probably don't even deserve to even have a shot to upset somebody. So I get it because it's Steph Curry and you're some names you know, but in years gone by, it might be really four bad teams, Chris, where it isn't Steph Curry and maybe it's not Zion and guys like teams like that, where you have teams that just aren't that good. I just don't like it.
But you've always, you got to admit, I mean, especially in the Eastern Conference, we've had that a lot. Like that last seed or that seventh seed where they just haven't been a very good team. We've had several teams make it with less than 500 records in the Eastern Conference. So it's no different in that regard.
Yeah, but this to me is just another, I mean, I get it. You know, they're trying to make some more money off
fans,
some more playoff
yeah.
games and whatnot. I just think you got to be very careful not to make your regular season null and void where people just say, I'll wait. And it ain't the one and done. And you're right. I've said it before, Chris. It's not college basketball. It's the format. The one and done is just
exciting.
We don't
even know the players anymore.
Right. It doesn't matter, though. Right?
Right.
It doesn't even matter.
Right. That's why I think it'll be fun. All right. We're going to throw it out to you guys. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. Do you like the play-in tournament? Are you with me and you love it? Or are you with LeBron and Rob? Whoever thought I'd say that? LeBron and Rob agreeing on something. They dislike
me and
the
Bronny. Yo, Bronny, what up? Can we go to get some Blaze pizza? But I want extra cheese on mine, all right?
All right, your turn to weigh and start calling in now, 877-99 on Fox. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And we are the iCouple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we're brought to you by NetSuite. Now, you tuned in last week. You know that our NFL draft coverage was second to nobody, all right? And it was all brought to you by NetSuite. So if you're running a business and you're still using QuickBooks, come on, man. Come on. You got to get out of the quicksand, all right? The bigger your company grows, the faster you will sink with that outdated software. So go to NetSuite. In fact, go to netsuite.com/draft and get a one-of-a-kind financing program. That's right. netsuite.com/draft. You'll find this one-of-a-kind financing program. netsuite.com/draft. All right. 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Are you digging the play-in tournament as I am? Or do you think it's just a bunch of hogwash like LeBron and Rob?
All right, let's kick it off with John in Minneapolis. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, John?
Hey, good evening, fellas. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say I'm all in for a couple reasons. One of them is, you know, what if a team's good and they go through injuries throughout the season and then they get healthy towards the end of the season and they can get in there and really be a contender? Or you look at the bubble last season. You had Miami, who obviously they wanted to play in, but still they wasn't expected to get there. It just gives opportunities for Cinderellas. And then also you might have a team that makes some trades at the trade deadline that puts their team in better position that they will be competitive once it gets in there. So I just like the format. I just think it gives other options. And, hey, I'm looking forward to it, to somebody creeping up that we weren't
expecting. Nice call.
You only say that, John, because when LeBron gets knocked out in the play-in game, all hell's going to break loose. You watch and see. All the LeBron minions will be up in arms about how phony the NBA is, how terrible it is, and a guy like that can get knocked out in one game, and it ain't fair. I guarantee you.
We'll see. I'll give you, Rob, that would be interesting.
Am I right?
If that happens, and I don't think it'll happen. Now, remember,
Chris, people are going to like that LeBron could get knocked out that easily? No.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It'll be interesting to see, because I think we'll see with the callers, but I think more fans like it. But you're right. All if right. LeBron gets knocked out, it'll be interesting to see if that changes.
Sean in Orlando, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Sean?
What's up? Rob, I heard you I inspired a song after about blocking people on Twitter about a couple weeks ago when I trashed you.
What happened?
Oh, he said he's the reason you did that crazy song.
You heard that song?
Yeah, I heard it.
He's the reason for it, Rob.
Sean, that's what he's saying. So you're the one who called. You remember? I do remember that, and I told you, right? It's my Twitter, and I'll block if I want to. Do we have the song?
Yeah, I mean,
Iowa Sam, where is it?
Oh, please don't play it.
I don't need it anyway. But as far as the play-in tournament,
it's my Twitter, and I'll block if I want to. Block if I want to. Block if I want to. You would block too if they tried to diss you. All right, Sean, thanks for inspiring me. What you got?
Oh,
starting the play-in tournament, though, like, people are bound to have a problem with it. Like, if one of the seventh or eighth seed gets knocked out, you know the fan base is going to go rabid. Like, well, we deserved it. And I just think, who knows, man?
No, hey, well, Sean, he's kind of bringing
let
up
me
the
ask
same
you,
point
if LeBron
as
gets
did,
knocked
right.
out, where are you? Would you be – I bet you NBA America would be up in arms. No LeBron in the playoffs. It was not fair. They should have automatically been in and not have to play in that thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's yep. going to be the argument.
But that's one of the things with LeBron, though. Like, if he really felt strongly about this, he should have said it at the beginning of the season. And I know
well,
he said
did
it back
say,
in 2018 or whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, he said it back in 2018. I don't know if he said what he said at the beginning of the year, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like they don't care unless it actively affects them, unless they
right.
know it actively affects them.
No doubt, Sean. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Mark in Sacramento, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, gentlemen? First of all, I want to say I'm a LeBron fan, but on this one, shut the hell up, LeBron, because everybody's subject to the same thing. You just happen to be this time in a situation where your team had a lot of injuries. You're coming back. If you have to play in the playing game, that's a part of this too. You guys got hurt. So shut the hell up. Suck it up. And if you say you're the greatest of all time, which you proclaim, go win it through this. You won it through the bubble last year. With that being said, I don't know yet because this is an extension of that. I want to see how it plays out, but I will say the caller before me, he had some really good points, and so did you, Chris. It gives it a different feel.
Right. A little extra
excitement. And the West is really strong. So one of those strong teams might get knocked out. That does give it a college feel, which it never had. And the one thing I agree, Chris, it stops that tanking crap. I'd rather see this than the tanking crap.
I mean, honestly, Zion might not even be playing right now if they didn't have a shot. And it's even a long shot for them to get in the play-in. You know, honestly, they might be sitting him just because, hey, we don't want to get him hurt.
You got it.
Mark has rarely been so spirited. Wow. Have you heard him that spirited, Rob?
I love it.
We like that, Mark. Great stuff.
I love it.
Yes, he's not backing down on that. I think that's it, Chris, we got on the call. So. I'm sorry. One more. We got one more. Nate in Maryland. We're going to check in with Nate. You're
What's
on the
up,
Odd Couple
man?
Fox Sports Radio.
Always.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love the playing idea, especially as a Wizards fan, man. It gives us a little bit of hope every year.
See, there you go. There's another bad team.
That's not just it, Rob. That's not just
yes, it.
They haven't been bad lately, though, Rob. They've been playing great
ball.
And
the league is so top-heavy, there's no parity in the NBA. You know, so this gives some of those teams a little bit of a shot. And if you LeBron, first of all, LeBron's never going to be in the eighth spot anyway, but Don't get beat by that ninth seed. You know what I'm saying? Get to that seventh seed, like you said, Chris. This will help out with that load management crap. And it just gives that extra juice, man. It's like going to be the greatest reality TV it is. If you played all year, you don't want to get bounced out, you that eighth seed, you're going to be playing your butt off, man. It's going to be like an NCAA tournament game. It gives it that extra juice. And if you don't want to get bounced out of the playoffs, like I said, man, you got to do the work during the regular year. And the NBA has more playoff teams than any other league except for the NHL anyway.
Right.
So they shouldn't be complaining anyway. Somebody, you know.
You always get a couple bad teams in it. Yeah, you always get a couple bad teams. Good call.
But yeah,
another aspect, Rob, of this, and this is relevant. This is significant. Like, if the Lakers, and LeBron has said it. He said it last night, in fact. We don't get time to practice. Now, they're not the only team. Nobody's getting a chance to practice because the games are coming so fast and furious and your off days, you want to give your guys a little chance to rest their bodies. So no teams are really getting hard practices in. While the play-in tournament is going on, teams were going to use that time, at least theoretically, to really get that chemistry, especially a team like Brooklyn, a team like the Lakers, where they've had all these injuries and they can get on the same page again right before the playoffs. But if you're in that play-in, if the Lakers are in the play-in, Rob, they're not going to get that time. They're going to have to play-in and then they're going to have to go right to the first round without really having a ton of practice. So there is a disadvantage for those teams that are in the play-in. So I think that's part of what LeBron is bothered by as well. And that's significant.
No doubt. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I just want to see if one of the big boys or somebody that's a big player gets knocked out, the reaction of it, and what the league will do if they – you know what I mean? If it
backfires. There's only a few players. LeBron's certainly one of them. If Brooklyn – I mean, you know, Brooklyn – most of the best teams aren't going to be in this. You know what I mean? It's just the Lakers are, strangely, because of the injuries, or at least they could be. We'll see. All right, Alex Rodriguez said something baffling, but Rob is an interpreter. Rob is the Rodriguez whisperer, I guess. So he's going to interpret it for us when we come back. Keep it locked. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
You would block, too, if they tried to diss you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the Odd Couple. Chris Broussard, Rob Parker wrapping up a Magic City Monday. Coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We're going to end off with a little bit of baseball. And Alex Rodriguez, who, Rob, we both think he's been terrific on television.
Yes, he is. He sounds great. He has great insight.
He gets a lot of criticism, though, apparently, but I think he's done a great job.
A lot of people just don't like him. If you're being honest with his commentary, seriously, an analysis, Chris, he knows the game in and out.
Oh yeah, and he does a great job of delivering it. I think he's great.
Let me say one last thing, real quick. He's the first guy I know who got to work on two networks, Chris. You know, like in a prime role on Fox,
right,
with the playoffs and ESPN networks. Sunday Night Baseball. I'm sorry, it's just you normally don't split a guy like that.
Right, that just shows you how much in demand he was. But anyway, he said something last night on Sunday Night Baseball that didn't make any sense. And Rob G explained it to us.
Yeah, we tried getting the sound, but it seems that maybe somebody didn't like the way A-Rod came off on this, and they had to scrub from the internet. But in the course of the broadcast, they were talking about Francisco Lindor, who just signed that massive $340-plus million contract with the Mets.
And he is struggling.
Yeah, he is struggling. He's pressing a little bit.
He is struggling bad.
He's hitting 182 on the season.
And I watched his at-bats. I thought it was 171.
This might have gone up, actually, maybe, since then.
I watched his at-bats against the Phillies last night. Terrible. Just he looked lost.
And A-Rod was talking about that, and he said something along the lines of, this is, you know, not verbatim, but something like, if I were his hitting coach, talking about Lindor, I'd tell him, I don't want to see more than 25 home runs out of you. If he hits a home run, I'm going to penalize him.
So if he hits more than 25 home runs, he's penalizing. Rob, look, I get it if Francisco Lindor was Freddie Patek. All right, and he was a singles hitter, and you know, just hit
and
for
anybody,
average. And
nobody knows who that is, Chris, but Freddie Patek was about 5'4" or something, right? Shortstop for the Kansas City Royals, and he was the littlest man playing baseball. He was good, Freddie Patek.
He was a good little guy, but you know what I'm saying? Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew, but he is a guy who can hit homers. His last three full seasons, Rob, he hit 30 or more homers. 33 in 2017, 38 in 2018, 32 in 2019. Those are his three best years, or three of his four best years. So that's what I get if A-Rod is like, I don't want you swinging for the fences and striking out. But to say that this guy shouldn't hit that many homers just doesn't make sense. And it's not like he's got the same number of walks as strikeouts. So it's not like he's just striking out all the time and you'd want to say, stop trying to kill the ball, as they used to tell us.
Right.
So I don't get it.
I think that's what he was talking about, because I saw his swings and they just weren't good. You know, Chris, they just weren't where they need to be.
Although they all are swinging for the fences now.
Right. But when you're scuffling like that, it would be nice. You know what they always say, when you're struggling, the best sign of breaking out, Chris, is going the other way with the pitch. You're not trying to pull it, right? You're a left-handed batter. You're spraying hits to left field. That's when you're hitting the ball up the middle. You're not feeling like you're just a pull hitter trying to hit it out the park.
Right.
And you're not pressing. And I think that's what he meant, because it did sound crazy what he was saying. Oh, if you hit home runs, you're going to get. But he's talking about making contact and just hitting the ball where it's pitched, rather than trying to control it and drive it, you know? And I think that's what he meant, because Lindor is a great player. He's on track, Chris, to go to the Hall of Fame. I know it's still early, but, I mean, he's on track. He's got a long way to go. He's got this long contract with the Mets. Fans on New York are already booing
him. You know what I mean? I'm here. They're already on him, man.
You know how it is, Chris. That's how it is, man.
22 games, yep.
It's like, dude, what? We just paid you a boatload of money, and you're a bum. Like that's a New York attitude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're a bum.
As you said, we were talking earlier, it ain't Cleveland.
No.
This is not Cleveland,
This is not Cleveland.
You better wake up.
And it's funny, too, because Giancarlo Stanton was struggling big time too, Chris. And guess what's going on now? He got a 9-game hitting streak. Because you know you got to get it together. Do you know what I mean? At some point.
It's going to make you see, we can see what you made of.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's what A-Rod was talking about.
Yeah, that's the only explanation, Rob. You know, that's the only explanation. Maybe he did have, you know, a brain freeze where he forgot how much of a home run hitter Lindor is. But I think that's what he meant. We know he knows the game, obviously. So that's really the only thing he could have meant. So, all right, it is the Odd Couple. Chris Broussard, Rob Parker signing off. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. Go to iTunes, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, download, subscribe, leave a comment, and 5 stars, and we'll be with you tomorrow. Keep it locked right here for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon.